Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elish Quinn. Well, today we turn our attention to a recent study looking at a genetic variant found in the Arctic. Now, the research was recently published, and it suggests that while this gene may have once helped Arctic people survive in the North, it may also be contributing to negative health today. And joining us now to tell us more about the study is its senior author. Thomas Kivisild is from the University of Cambridge in the United Kingdom. Thomas Kivisild, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us a little bit about this. And I thought we could start off, just give us an overview of the background to the study and what got you interested in looking at this area in the first place.
We've been looking at Siberian populations for several years now, and the motivation of this study has been to understand more about their origins and dispersals in Siberia, but also to understand whether they have some genetic adaptations to their environment in cold particularly. And previously, we published a study on the basis of genotype data where we found a region in chromosome 11 as unusually strong haplotype homozygosity region, which signified positive selection. Unfortunately, that region included 78 different genes, and we couldn't put our finger on which one of them was the source of the signal. However, now in this new study, using high coverage sequencing, we've managed to narrow down the region to one particular gene and one particular mutation.
And I want to get to the findings in just a moment, but in terms of the Arctic populations, when you say Siberia, is it specifically the Chukchi people, or is it some of the other indigenous groups in Russia as well?
We've been studying 10 different populations, broadly speaking, from central, southern, and northeast Siberia. And then besides Chukchis from northeast Siberia, we have also Koryaks and Siberian Eskimos. And this study is particularly focusing on these northeast Siberian populations. The signal that we find is absent in other central and southern Siberian populations.
So we've talked a bit about who's involved in the study, some of the background. Tell us about what some of the main and most exciting findings were for you.
I think the main interesting finding was the fact that the mutation that we uncovered as driving this enormously strong positive selection in Northeast Siberia was previously detected by medical geneticists in Canadian and Greenland Inuits and in association with high infant mortality and hypoketotic hypoglycemia or low blood sugar related disease, which particularly affected infants.
And is this what I hope I'm getting? Is it the CPT1A variant that we're talking about?
It is, yeah. The gene's name is CPT1A. It's carnitine related. It's a gene that breaks down long chain fatty acids, and in the version of the gene that we have detected is particularly involved in the breaking down the fat into energy in the mitochondria, and then this mutation that we have detected reduces the activity of the enzyme down to about 5 or 6%, and therefore the usage of the long fatty acids in energy metabolism is reduced.
And so from what I understand then from what you're saying is that before, you know, I don't know in genetics what a significant amount of time is, but if we look far back, this was something that would help Arctic populations thrive in the North. Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting that we wondered as how old the mutation could be, and then we checked available ancient DNA sources, and it turned out that the mutation is present in the Paleo Eskimo of the sarcoxide in heterozygous form, and it also occurs in some other Paleo Eskimo samples that were published this year. Whereas the mutation is completely absent in other Native Americans and in also in the Eurasian samples that have been studied so far, which puts the approximate date estimate that we did derive from the genetic data and from the ancient DNA evidence combined somewhere between 6,000 and 15,000 years.
Wow. And, you know, help us draw the line a little bit. How does something that helps populations survive, how does it evolve into something that's actually harmful to health, you know, in modern times like today?
We don't still actually know what the mechanism exactly is, but it could be that the reduced activity of this enzyme is associated with a more efficient or long-term sustainable use of fat energy, in particular in conditions where the food resources are limited. And secondly, it could be that it is something to do with the ketosis or the production of keto bodies from fat metabolism, which may be in high concentrations poisonous, whereas they are needed to sustain the energy demands of the brain. So it could be something related to the brain metabolism, or it could be something to do with the long-term use, in particularly in conditions where these populations are without any carbohydrates for most parts of the year. So this is something that probably needs to be taken into account. And thirdly, it's still possible that it is something to do with cold adaptation by stopping the production of ATP energy in the mitochondria, the alternative pathway that could be used in the cells of affected individuals is the UCP or uncoupling protein pathway, which produces heat, and these three hypotheses would have to be tested probably in an animal model, and at the moment, in collaboration with the Sanger Institute, we are in the process of generating the transgenic mice with this variant.
And do we know if this is found also in northern populations, like, for example, the Sami of northwestern Russia or Finland and Sweden?
We know that this particular variant is not found in Northern Europe. However, a previous study found that the same gene and other fat metabolism genes were enriched for specifically the Neanderthal ancestry in European populations, and these were genes highlighted as the ones that have gone through more genetic change than other genes on average, and have more Neanderthal ancestry than other genes. Whereas we specifically looked at this Northeast Siberian variant is not found in Europe, and it's not on the background of Neanderthal ancestry. So this is really a de novo mutation that happened perhaps 6 or 15,000 years ago, and is specific to these Northeast Siberian populations.
And, you know, now that you've looked at these kinds of data and these kinds of outcomes, what do you want to look at next? What's the next step in exploring this, and what it sort of helps us better understand what's going on today?
The next step would be the functional study on a model organism such as mouse to to specify the subcellular phenotypes and also the phenotype of this mutation in a controlled environment, and then also to see whether this is something to do with a dietary function or with heat generation. So that would be the next step.
Thomas Kivisvill, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.